clearly we're living in a time when there's a lot to be said and a lot of people are saying it. Some of what we're hearing is very ennobling. Some of it is confusing. Some of it is passionate. Some of it is dedicated, intellectual, foresighted, hindsighted. And we're all responding to the world and events according to our nature. And each of us has a different nature, every one of us. I think the most powerful experience of the last 10 days or 2 weeks is that many of us saw for the first time somebody killed, somebody die. I don't know how many of you have witnessed that before. Some of us have sat at bedsides when people died, a very specific experience. And since I was a kid, I grew up hearing about lynchings and terrible things going on, but of course, I never witnessed it. And so it was hard not to turn on the television and see this man, George Floyd, killed in front of our eyes by someone who seemed to be carelessly disinterested in what he was doing. And everybody's talking about it, and I don't really want to talk about it all that much. But I will say the real power of what's happened is that we've been able to see more deeply into what you might just call reality, what it's like to die. I really don't think most people in the world have witnessed that. I may be wrong, but actually watching somebody die over the course of 8 or 9 minutes, somebody being killed, murdered, changes the dynamic. We're looking at reality through another lens. Most of us watch people die in movies and on television as theater. And we watch it and we actually are entertained by it, mostly because it's not us, mostly because editors cut away from it after a certain amount of time and you can disperse your thoughts and fears into the next scene or whatever's going on after that. It's actually true on television as well, even in reality. You can look away and move on, as we do, most of us do. However, in this given moment, a lot of people did not look away. It was, as they say, a wake-up call to truth, to suddenly becoming very responsive to reality, or the reality that you perceive through your particular lenses and ears and your DNA and your history. I have on television witnessed some of the most moving speeches from people who I think were afraid to talk. And of course, the most powerful words are coming from, you know, the African Americans among us who have lived a life that is not often witnessed by us, by the white folk, that is not often spoken about. And it has such penetrating, powerful emotional resonance, and it makes us more aware and more conscious and more awake. That's valuable. The whole idea of stillness, of meditation, of tuning out everything is so you can begin to get a sense of the avenue that leads inward to a place of reality, of truth, of witness, of knowing, of consciousness, of awareness. Usually for people who haven't made the inward journey, it's an outward journey into the world around us. And action follows that, as we have noticed in the protesting that's going on around the world. It's very powerful. It's very meaningful. And people have used this awakening to go outward. I in no way am critical of that. When I was in my teens, in high school, I marched in front of Woolworths for the rights for Black citizens to be able to sit at the counter. When I was a kid, I was part of a big action group that was trying to desegregate a pool, swimming pool, called Crystal Pool. And there was a mass of us, about 400 people, probably maybe 20% were white. And two friends and I were asked if we would go into the pool to prove that it was open before the Blacks in the community descended upon it and tried to get entry. So my friend Mark and Larry and I went into the pool, got into the pool, we were swimming. And then this huge line of marchers came, all of our participants, and the pool realized what was going on, the pool of people. The people were waving at us, and we were waving back. And at that moment I thought, you know, you may die here. This is really scary. You have all of these pool guys, they were big guys, suddenly aware that we had set them up. But they didn't kill us. We were told to get out. We got back on the line outside and we continued marching. This was in the late 50s. Here we are, 2020. And we all know how much has changed. We all know. I did a march in the early 70s. In front of the Hilton Hotel, where Dean Rusk was about to give a speech, and I, among a number of other people, tried turning over a police car. Mounted policemen with batons came, and they went like that, and I moved my hand just in enough time not to lose my hand, and the car was just completely dented by this club. And I went back to Ruby the next day and told him how I almost lost my hand. And I was rather proud of my going out into the world and standing up. And Rudy said, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go again. He was very opposed to me doing drugs, which I had at that point used and had brought me to Rudy. And he was very opposed to my being part of a demonstration. I didn't really understand that, but now what I'm feeling is I understand why reality and the witnessing of reality causes us to move outward, but you can also use it to go inward. You can take this powerful force and open yourself up to a new level of insight or a new depth of reality. You can go into this space in yourself and you can empathize with, love, energize, commune with, and experience a oneness with all of what's going on. Then I would say, if you want to carry that into the community and walk, I would not say what Rudy did. Don't do it, but don't do it in the absence of doing the inner work. The inner work is what's crucial. Going deep into yourself is what's essential, because that has more positive value in energizing the world, if you will, the communion of beings, than walking with a stick. Numbers are important. They're valuable. They show something. They show community. And community is really meaningful. And at this moment in time, I am, in a way, proud of community. I also worry about it. My son was marching in Washington last week. And, you know, I'm a father. I don't want him hurt. I actually had the instinct the other day of I should just go out into the streets of Red Hook, nobody in Red Hook is marching, as far as I know, and just take a sign and walk. And I felt like I wanted to do that. And then this voice said, what did Rudy say? Just take it in. Take it in. Be the change inwardly. Be it. We are all very much locked into a certain structural sense of who we are as people. I was talking to my friend Larry the other day, and we started laughing because we were having the same conversation on the FaceTime that we had had when we were in high school. And we said, has nothing changed? Has nothing changed? Are we just the same people, only older? And in a way, no. The journey outside is very predictable. You are going to go through life. You're going to do what you do. You're going to have your jobs. You may have your marriages and children. You may not. You may have achievements or failures. You may have whatever it is that life gives you. And you will probably be very much like the person who set out when you were 4 years old or 10 years old, and not all that different in terms of the world. But where can you really be different? Where can you be different? It's when the solidity of that being starts to become porous. It starts to relax its hold on you. And you start to become more malleable. And you start to become filled with, if you will, the space of being, which is internal and external. Being is not just inside you. It's in all space. All time, all space, no time, no space. There's this being. But many of us, in many ways, are still bound by the being, the material being that we were born as. Part of what I do when I work with you is to help try to break that up, because I've known many of you for a long time. And I can see the structure that is being held in place, that you define yourself with over and over and over, because it gives you comfort and because you don't know any other way. But let me tell you, the deeper you go and the more expansive you become, the more this structural you will look the same, sound the same, but it will not be the same, because it will have this porous quality that allows you to become deeper and vaster as a being. And I see the struggle in all of us. I see it in myself, you know, the part of us that doesn't want that. The part of us that wants life and reality to be on our terms, in our comfort zone, and to live the life that we really think we have somehow earned or deserved. I think the great thing about the pandemic is that we are kind of beginning to see we don't get to live the life we think we deserved or earned. We live a communal, worldly, collective life. We are amoebic elements in something very big. And that bigness is something that the pandemic has shown us, that these marches are showing us. The collective will of people to put their lives literally on the line, to go now out into these mass marches and saying they need to express themselves and to witness, even at the potential loss of their life, they need to witness these things in the world that are not right and that need to be fixed. Marching does that. Going deep inside, trust me, going deep inside, loving humanity, loving others, loving the people closest to you, feeling good about the world, smiling at another human being is as big a deal as carrying a sign in a march. Again, if you want to carry a sign, please go carry one. If you want to put your life on the line, it will make you much more aware of reality and of your own limited part in that reality. It's not a bad thing, but don't do it at the absence of really digging deep into the soul of who you are and letting you become this really remarkable witness to reality. That is who you really are. You are a witness. And I talk about porousness, meaning you're not a fixed witness. You're not locked in of seeing it just through your eyes, you know, the George Subkoff eyes, the Cheryl Subkoff eyes, the Blanche Rubin eyes, the Bruce Rubin eyes. They're valuable. You see it through those fixtures, but as you become porous, those eyes are no longer limited to you. They have, you know, Shelley and Mark, you know, they have Andy and Sharon. They have, I'm sorry if I don't mention all your names, but they partake of this vastness of witnessing. That's who we are. That's who we are. Not the singular, the plural, and the singular, and none of the above. Pretty powerful. I had a weekly moment, which I've talked about before, of deciding I had the virus, which, by the way, I don't. I got a test for the virus. Blanche and I are negative. But I was sure I had the virus. And I was dying again, which I've done weekly. And I'm watching me die. And it was really fascinating because there was nothing of Bruce recognizable. Nothing. There was just this organism dying. It was like a dream where other people are all around you and there's nothing of your own story. And I went, wow, what about my story? My story's not going to die. Bruce isn't dying. All the things he did and didn't do and what wished he had or what all that didn't die. It was like nothing, none of the above. It was just like this thing was dying. It was like you're having a dream about people you didn't know them and they were all dying. It's really fascinating. I don't know that there's any truth in it. I don't know or don't know. But I will tell you, this fixed sense of self that we all have, its problem is its fix. The fixation on the fixed nature of who we are. Breathe, breathe in it. Take these deep breaths during the day. Open your heart, open your psyche, open your soul. Let the world, with all of its transformational power and it exerting it in a big way right now, inspire you to go way, way deep inside and let go of all the fixed elements of you. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid. It's all going to be taken away anyway, probably for many of us sooner than later. So let it go. Let it go. Relax. And when you start to do that, I will alert you. The worst of you comes up last. The good stuff goes pretty quickly. But it's all your little idiosyncratic, your fears, your disturbances, your anxieties, those are the things that seem to come up toward the end. So if you start to find all that stuff coming up, it's because you're ready and able to say, okay, and not engage it. Don't engage that old stuff and try to reassemble you from the darkest side outward. Let it go. Let you dissemble, fall apart, fall away. And for those of us who are couples, the couples have to understand when this is really going on, don't get upset with your partner because their other side is coming up. It needs to come up in order to evaporate. That's what we're dealing with. We are evaporating into the world, and the world is doing something to allow that to happen and to really change the equation. We are not in the world we were in March. We just aren't. We all know that. We don't know what to do with it. None of us have a clue of what to do with it. But we have this little bit of a clue. Use it. Go inside. Take the time. You got the time. And just sit. Just like we're doing here. Just sit for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a half hour, whatever it is. Go for a walk. Be quiet. Be simple. Listen to the birds. You know, just witness the trees, witness the stillness, witness the noise, and be grateful that you have another moment to be, just to be. Again, there's no right or wrong action here. If you want to engage the stuff that's going on around you, go for it. But if you do get a billy club to the hand and your hand gets knocked off, own it. If they drown you in the pool for going in there, you know, because you were trying to protest segregation, own it. I can only tell you, we have to own our lives, live the life. But if you get too disconnected from it all, it doesn't mean the world isn't still operating. So you might want to pay attention. But if you go too deeply inside and you forget what's outside you, the world is not happening. It's happening. So I would say, and I think I said it last week, or maybe every week for the last 20 years, the razor's edge. Be aware as deep as you can go of what's happening inside you, and be as aware as you can of what's happening outside you, and slowly dissolve the line between the two and let it all be one occurrence, one thing, and ultimately one timeless, I will say, empty thing. And we move toward that, and you get freed of all of your interaction with it as a separate form. It doesn't go anywhere. You just aren't going to be it and them. There's no two. There's just whatever this is. And trust me, reality is getting louder. It's getting louder and louder and louder. Listen, listen. Listen, sit quietly. Get to the quietest place you possibly can go so you can really hear what reality is saying to you, and let it go, let you go, let your structural integrity go. Just loosen up, lighten up, live this thing. And yes, a lot of your shit will suddenly come up. Let that go too. You don't have to grab onto it. You don't have to sit in shame of it. Just let it up, rise, dissipate, gone. And there's just what is. There's just what is. And it will be, I think, amazing. It will just be amazing. It is amazing. And at some point, it's not amazing to you. You are that which is amazed. You are the amazement and the amazing itself. And you are, trust me. You are. If you don't know that you're amazing, time to figure that out. The mere fact of your existence, the mere fact that you're here, the mere fact that you're hearing this and not deciding to turn on something else, the mere fact that you can pay attention to this wonder of being means to me that you're on the road to, if you haven't recognized it already, to becoming an amazing being. So enjoy this ride. It's complicated, it's difficult, but it's being very supported now by reality. The reality around you right now is in complete support of your transformative experience. Go with it. It's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be easy. You may be shaken to the core. Let yourself be shaken. It's good. It's a good thing. People call these challenging times. That's exactly what it is. This is challenge. Challenge means you are being asked to step up to something. I would say you're being asked to step into something. Take it in, express it outwardly, live it, be a strong demonstration for whoever else is in your life. In these pandemic times, there aren't that many people that close to you, but let it witness itself, let it share itself, let it unfold into the world around us, and we will all be better for it. So, open to reality. This is not a bad thing we're living in. We're just seeing it for what it is. Reality isn't always pretty. It isn't always what we want. It has a lot of awful, awful stuff in it. But when there's nobody to react to that, and there's just the thing itself, it's this vast transformational manifestation that is not about us. It just is. And you are that which is. Okay. In the middle of that, I will tell you that I really love you guys. I really, really love you. I love sitting with you. I love being in your presence, even if it's on a Zoom screen. Each one of you is very, very precious. And I'm so grateful that you tune into this. You know, it wants to come out. I guess I could just go to these walls, but it somehow would love to land on a human landscape. and thank you for providing them. Are there any questions? And you can put your mute button off and ask your question. George, you have to put on your, take off the mute.
I did. Can you hear me?
Yep.
I just want to say, I think this is a great time to just disengage our egocentric lives, because we're getting shaken out of it and we hold on to the safety of what we've created for ourselves. And it's training to let go when we have to let go, in that sense. The other thing I want to say is I miss seeing you in person and bringing you a bunch of bagels and lox. So.
I miss them too. But George, we've been training for this for 50 years. 50 years. People who haven't been training for it have to learn very quickly. And it's a hard thing to muscle up to if you haven't ever done it. So we are fortunate in that we have the capacity, and all we have to do is work it. That's all we have to do. And not think, well, I'll do it next month or in a year. You know, I mean, no, this is it. This is the time. This is real.
I always remember going to a black friend of mine, woke me up early on a Sunday morning, said, it's going to be good for your soul. And they took me to a Malcolm X rally. But it was 10,000 black people and me. And that was a big dose of reality in that sense.
Yes. I mean, I'm grateful about black friends and have, you know, touched a black community. But it is, for many people, something that's really, it's other. It's something truly other. And those of us who've been lucky, and I've met some of your friends, aren't you?
Right back. And friend authors are a guy who took me there, you bet.
And, yes, that's, the really wonderful thing about a spiritual opening is that it doesn't see color at all. It goes past color so quickly into human nature, human being. And color is just, it's not even a thing. It just doesn't come about. It's all it is humanity. And it would be nice if everybody could get to that place. It's not an easy journey, as we've learned. And most people, I don't know about most people, but many people haven't even really begun it because they live in communities where they don't have to even try. But what's happening right now is quite exquisite. And maybe we'll turn the table a little bit. I mean, I thought I would in the late 50s. You know, here we are 70 years later, almost. So anyway, we have lessons to learn. But the wonderful thing is the intention. There's incredibly good intention. Hopefully that will achieve something that might be substantial.
This is samsara that's always been there, though.
Yeah. Exactly, it's samsara. Yeah. It's created like this. It's created as dualism, and it's meant to do this thing, and we're meant to be in it for some reason. One can say in the Buddhist sense that we can grow from it, we can become liberated within it. I buy all that, but I don't know anything for absolute truth or fact. I just know that I can feel this porousness that I'm talking about occurring in my own life, and I can project that can happen for other people, and it's very, very freeing on many levels. I don't want to pontificate because each one of us is moving on our own journey through our own space, but it does feel like what we were taught by Buddha, by Christ, by so many great beings, is that there's transformational power in reality. And if you expose yourself to reality, you can become something beyond what you started as. It may not look that way. It may sound the same as when you were 12, but it's not. You really can become elevated, expanded, insightful, bigger, more open, and a better and more amazing being. Anyone else? Okay. 4 weeks, I'll be back, I guess, however that works. I love you guys. I thank you for being here. I thank you for being part of this. And if you need anything, call, write. I'm available. Of course, not doing much. And my I'm working on this, my Las Vegas show, but it's part of the world we're in right now. And God knows Las Vegas is more confused about what to do now than any place on the planet. So I don't know where all this is going, but it's an interesting distraction. I I am loving getting up in the morning and facing whatever this is. It shakes me to the core. Turning on the news shakes me to the core, but that core keeps expanding, and I hope yours expands as well. Thank you, and we'll do this again.